The previous week, we stopped here. If you are using the text, it's page 96. So, last week when we were finishing up, then I covered the text where my teacher shared that what is meant by attachment, grasping, where even when someone just mentioned about jiaozi, about dumpling, and if as a result, then in his mind, immediately there is that longing, and he starts to salivate. Then what happened? 我就流口水了。 但是我自己反省并不是明显的想吃饺子。 But he, when he think about it, it's not apparent. There's no very strong, that kind of obvious desire to or wish to eat dumpling. 从这里就看出来 执着心很微细, that attachment is very subtle. So, even though in our mind we may not have that, desire to eat, but even at that stage, there's already attachment. So we stopped there last week. So we continue from there. So, 现在说无所住, 就是不要有微细的执着, I think we covered this last week also. Yeah, so the verse 须菩提, 菩萨于法应无所住, 心欲不失, 所以不住色不失, 不住身香味触法, 不失, 须菩提, 菩萨应如是不施, 不住于相, 何以故? 若菩萨不住相不施, 其福, 其福德不可思量。 So, this idea of 住, is, that means the mind is fixated. In other words, there's this underlying attachment, grasping. But usually when we think about the word 住, then it is physical. But here it's all about the mind. Where does your mind stay at? In a way, our mind is always moving around. But now suddenly it doesn't move. It just keeps staying there. And that's because of the grasping. So, 修行这件事, so cultivation, this matter that we call cultivation. 我们学习金刚般若波罗蜜, when we learn, so when we learn the Diamond Sutra, the Impervious Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, 观一切法空, we contemplate, we observe and contemplate all phenomena to be empty. 也是要依据经论上说的修行次第. When we do that, that means we contemplate all phenomena to be empty. You cannot just anyhow do it. It has to be, it has to depend on what? Depend on the teachings from the sutras and the sastras. In other words, the sutras and the commentaries. Insight in detail. How to cultivate. The step-by-step, systematic, the progression of cultivation. 认真的修行才能成就. In this way, earnestly cultivating, then you can be successful, you can accomplish. 一天就念一遍楞严咒. Let me see. This part is for that one student, but the student is not here. 一天就念一遍楞严咒. 念一遍大悲咒, 十小咒, 念几十年也不行。 if Sifu say this, I think people will have something to say about it. Who are you? Huh? You don't want to chant, then you say don't have to chant. Maybe you don't even know how to chant. But my teacher was trained in all the as traditional as it gets. Yeah, so he was trained from the ground up in this way. But at the end of the day, this is his own conclusion. Yeah. In a day, you just recite the Surangambana mantra, or just recite once of that, then one time of Great Compassionate mantra, then one time of the 10 minor mantra. Yeah. Then you just do this for 10 years. Is that enough? Not enough. Pusing. Yeah. In our monastery, we don't. Traditional Chinese monastery, Leng Yin Zhou is a must every day. Yeah. Morning, Zao Ke. But in our monastery, we don't chant Leng Yin Zhou. We do Qi Bian Da Bei Zhou, then take a refuge. I can't even remember whether we recite Heart Sutra. But we do 1.5 hour sitting, do some walking, then do 1.5 hour sitting. Then after that, 25 minutes of reading the Diamond Sutra. Read, we don't chant, we just read. And my teacher highlight, don't rush through the 32 chapters. Yeah. Some of the senior monks, and because they're from Taiwan and China, they're very, fluent. 10 minutes, got it. At most 15 minutes. And my teacher said, don't rush through it. Read one chapter and then reflect upon it. What is the meaning? What is this chapter trying to tell us? Yeah. Can we contemplate in this way? Are we able to contemplate in this way? How do we contemplate in this way to begin with? Then we contemplate in this way. And by contemplating in this way, do we then understand what it's trying to tell us? And maybe within one session, then you can understand it. Then it's just one chapter. Then, if you have time, you go to the second chapter. And maybe halfway through, talk. Okay, time for breakfast. Okay, no time. Then tomorrow you continue. Or you continue on the second chapter. Again, you just read the second chapter and you just reflect upon the second chapter. What is the chapter trying to tell us? How do you contemplate on this chapter? Are you able to contemplate on this chapter? If you can, then you contemplate on this chapter. Then you contemplate in this way, then are you able to understand it as intended? Then when you are done with that, then you go to the third chapter. Yeah, don't rush through it. Yeah, so this is the training we receive. 若像这个万亿，应该是偶义大师，不是万亿大师，偶义大师连读念十万遍大悲咒，那可不同了，十万遍，十万 is 100,000, yeah. Which is still quite doable. 十万遍. Each day you can maybe manage 50 times. Yeah. I mean, if you do it full time, you can do more than that. Yeah. I just told the group that is going to Tibet in September, I told them, okay, so last Saturday we had the walk. Then I told them, preparation homework before the trip, finish 100,000 times. Then they're, at first I was like, 10,000. No, 10,000 too little. 100,000. Then they, I said, just 10 rounds, just one round of the Nian Zhu is already 108. Each day, I'm sure you can manage 10 rounds. 10 rounds, 1,000 over already. Over 10 days, 10,000. Yeah. 100 days, 3 months, just nice. 3 months, if you do it continuously, you should finish up your 100,000. Yeah. So, 不管修什么法门, 蜻蜓点水是不行的，要全部用全部的时间精神才可以有成就的。 Yeah. So this is the trouble in today's landscape of Buddhism. We have in a way it's good, we have easy access to all the different schools, all the different lineages and traditions. But because of the ease of access, then we are unsettled. Yeah. That's the excitement, you know. It's like if you can only choose one toy, then you will be really serious and ask yourself, if your parents tell you you can only have one toy for the rest of the year, oh, you really think hard, you know, what toy you want. But now your parents tell you the whole toy arrives, you can choose any toy anytime. Then you feel like you don't know what to play with, you know. Yeah, today you play with this, and then you think, wow, but there's the other toy. Like, go in and get more toys. Yeah. And just keep spending our time getting new toys, but you never really play that toy. Yeah, in the same way, today we have such ease of access to all the different lineages and traditions. The end result sometimes is the reverse. Yeah. The intent is so that people can learn Dharma more easily. But in the end, people get, you know, confused, you know. Wow, so many different things. Wow, I want to try this. Oh, I also want to try that. Wow, I got a new one. Oh, I also want to try. Wow, then, in the end, everything, 蜻蜓点水. You know, 蜻蜓, dragonfly, doing, doing, doing. Yeah, so just touch and go, touch and go. No in-depth learning or understanding. Some students ask me, so does it mean we can only learn one tradition? No, you can learn, you know, you can expose yourself to different lineages and traditions. And even when you find one that suits you, that you are able to connect with and help you to see your defilements, work on your defilements, it doesn't mean that we then reject all others and say, oh, all others are nonsense. No, it's just that this one happened to work for us. Yeah. But instead, if we don't even have that, spend that critical mass of time, yeah, then it's very difficult. And then it's easy for us to become, you know, superficial. Yeah. And the danger is this. It's just like small kids these days. They seem to know a lot, you know, because easy access. So the vocab, everything, wow, seems to have a lot. But no in-depth appreciation of a lot of things. Yeah. In a way, Buddhism is facing this crisis. Because anyone can just go online and search, wow, can know a lot of things. But no in-depth knowledge of any tradition. Yeah. So it's quite dangerous. So you need to spend the time, yeah, your energy, your concentration, yeah, basically to focus. Yeah, then you can have some accomplishment. Yeah. 只是上早晚殿. So morning, you do your puja, evening, do your puja. 这样子享有成就啊, 善根或许也能栽培多少。 Yeah, so maybe you can cultivate a bit of wholesome roots. We don't say that you don't cultivate anything, but maybe can cultivate a bit. Yeah, 但是想现在有成就, 不行的。 But if you want to have any progress, any accomplishment now, not possible. 比如我们, 就是这么, 这个读金刚经。 Yeah, so for example, we just briefly just read, yeah, this Dhamma Sutra. Yeah, 如是我闻,一时佛在舍卫国, yeah, and so on and so forth. 如是我闻,一时佛在舍卫国,即属即故土,愿以大悲求生, or you just, you know, read. 这样读一遍, 也有功德, 但是想得圣道是不行的。 You just recite, yes, there's merit, but insufficient. Insufficient to attain enlightenment. 这道理是一样的, 非要深入的学习, The principle is the same. It requires in-depth learning. 前方便也要注意, yeah, the precursor, preliminary work, that's important also, you must pay attention. Yeah. 然后用功修行, then after that, you put in effort to cultivate. 才有希望成就, then there's hope, yeah, there's a possibility to accomplish. Sometimes, you know, I've mentioned frequently, when you go through any text, yeah, the text somehow happen, yeah, we touch on certain topic that is relevant to what is happening. Yeah, unfortunately, those students are not here. Because one student recently come and tell me, "Oh, Shifu, last time you said, you know, chanting is like this, like that. So I stopped chanting, huh?" If only I had continued chanting, then my mind would be so much calmer. I'm like, when did I tell you all not to chant? I did say that if you only do chanting, that alone is insufficient. But never have I ever tell people, cannot chant, shouldn't chant. Yeah, so, 因缘如此. 因无所住, 心于不失. Yeah, so, that one should abide by nothing. In other words, not be attached to anything. Yeah. And in this way, practice giving. Yeah. 心于不失. 主要还是说,心不失应该不要执着. Yeah. So, the meaning is that when we do giving, not to have attachment. 这是总说. This is in brief. So when you look at the teachings, there's always the opening verse, which is in brief. Yeah, it's like Heart Sutra, 观自在菩萨,行深般若波罗蜜多时,照见五蕴皆空,度一切苦厄. Ah, this is what we call in brief, 总说. Then, 列表, wow, then after that, 广说, below, give you detail. So, below is the detailed one. 所谓不住色不施, 不住身香味触法不施. So you'll find that if you start off reciting the Heart Sutra, over time you become familiar with the five aggregates, the 12 elements are the 12 domains and the 18 elements, yeah, or the 12 bases and the 18 elements. And then when you look at some of these texts, immediately you see the pattern. So 不住色不施, form. Yeah. Not to be attached to form when you are doing giving. 不住身香味触法不施. Yeah, so, 身香味触法, what is it? What is the link? 色身香味触法. Yeah, the six external bases. In other words, the six sense object. What are the six sense object? They are corresponding to the eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and the mind. Yeah. Eyes with the form, ear with the sound, and so on. Yeah. 眼耳鼻舌身意色身香味触法. So, 六根六尘为净. Yeah. So, why is that important? Yeah, because, basically, as far as the whole world is concerned, yeah, we are bounded by this, yeah, the six sense bases and the six sense object. Together, they form the 12 bases that give rise to all the things we can perceive in this world. And being attached to any of this then limits our giving. So, 就是详细的说明内容. Yeah, so this is a detailed elaboration of the content itself. 这是别说, earlier is 总说, this is 别说. Yeah, so separate analysis in a way. 假设我们这个买了泡面, 买了面包, sorry, 不是泡面. Wow, I say 泡面 all week out. Okay, 买了面包, 不是给这个饥饿的人. Nowadays, maybe I have to buy 泡面, 面包没人要吃. Yeah, 这个买了面包, 不是给饥饿的人. 面包就是色身香味触法. So in what way is 面包色身香味触法? Yeah, so the 色身相位处, these are the first five sense object. Then fa is how it appears in our mind. So in fact, it's not just the 面包. My teacher here is using 面包, bread, as an example. Basically, all phenomena, physical phenomena outside, is encompassed by the five sense base, five sense objects. Yeah, form, sound, smell, taste, touch. Yeah. So you can use this as a basis to do contemplation also. In the Heart Sutra class, one of the exercises is, now if I were to ask you, where are you? How do you know where you are? Like, oh, Sifu, of course I know where I am. I can see, you know. Now if I take away your sense of sight, then you have no access to visible form. Can you still know? Some say, oh, cannot know. Some say, no, I can still know. I can hear. So because of the way the sound goes, I can roughly estimate and guess that I'm still at BL. How do you know that you're not at, let's say, Serangoon next or Vivo City? Oh, the sound is different. Now if I switch up your ear, then your sense of hearing is gone. You have no access to sound. Can you still tell? Oh, I cannot tell as far as visual and audio is concerned. But I can smell. Because in Vivo City, I can smell the perfume. I can smell the bakery shop. Here, I cannot smell anything. I can only smell the incense and maybe a bit of the smell from Sifu. Yeah, so I can still tell. I'm in BL. Yeah, then after that, maybe we may even ask, okay, now if I were to switch off your nose, then what happened? Yeah, and so on. One by one, if we switch off the sense bases, then eventually at some point, you'll have no bearings as far as the physical world is concerned. Yeah, you cannot tell anymore. Yeah, in which case, then, without the first five senses, can you even know where you are? Not to mention, be able to perceive anything. Yeah. And if you cannot perceive anything, can you be attached to anything for that matter? Yeah. So, but that's still the mind. And so with our mind, we can discriminate, oh, just a few seconds ago I was here. Although now, Sifu, you switch off everything, I can still think, and I can still compare, and I can still then conclude, we are still here. But once your external senses are all gone, our perception of time becomes less accurate. And maybe a whole kalpa has passed already while you're thinking about that question, and you didn't know. And within that one kalpa, your body has been transported to another world, or maybe chopped into 100,000 pieces, burned and then scattered into the air. Yeah. You wouldn't know because your senses is all switched off. Yeah. In which case, then, whatever you think of is actually invalid. Yeah. But now if you switch off even the mind, then whatever thoughts that may come is not even present. Yeah. So in the Heart Sutra, I mentioned about this sutta called Sabbe Sutta, yeah, or Sampa Sutta, the all. Yeah. That basically the six sense bases and six sense object defines all that we can perceive of. Yeah. And so here, coming back to this, and that is why when we look at the bun, our usual tendency is, oh, this is a bun. Or maybe this doesn't look like a bun. This one looks more like a bun. Oh, this is a nice bun. Oh, the color. Yeah, so nice. Yeah. But actually, all there is form, sound, smell, taste, touch. Yeah. And this form, smell, sound, taste, touch appear in our mind as phenomena. Yeah, we're just grasping onto all this. So, here it says, yeah, my teacher explains. So, 面包就是色身香味触法. The trouble is we don't think in that way. We perceive that's really a 面包. Yeah, but if we were to contemplate, reflect, observe, over time, then we start to see, yeah, in fact, it is really but form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and appearing as mental objects. Yeah. 或者, from 面包, 买或者买一栋房子，哇，哇，快了 jump 啊，哇，啊 ，any of you want to 买一栋房子供养给师父？哇，啊 ，or maybe 造医院，哇，呀、yeah.，if Tan Tock Seng is alive today, I think he would cannot build a hospital, too complicated. Yeah. So 救护众生、为众生治病、这也是色身相位出法、yeah. So all these things, whether you buy a barn, you build a house, you do this, you do that, all these are actually within the domain of the basis. Yeah. But so what? Yeah, so what? 做这些事、这些善事时对这些法都不要执着。That's the tricky part. When we are doing all this, first of all, we don't even see that it is just these sense bases. We take it as real objects. And that is the attachment about. That you're attached to that. It is something tangible, external from our experience. Yeah. Yeah. And you're attached to this and that and everything in between. Yeah, so 怎么样怎么不执着呢 yeah, How can we not be attached yeah, How can we not have attachment when we are doing giving yeah,What does it mean How to do it yeah, 不住、oh, In front 所以不住色不施不住身相位触法不施、啊、不住 So what is this 不住不住也就是要观一切法空So, instead of just jumping straight to saying, oh, I don't want to be attached. No. You must know that attachment depends on conditions to arise also. Depends on what? Depends on not seeing the true nature of phenomena. If you truly see the nature of phenomena, then there's no ground for attachment to arise. Attachment arises from the wrong viewing, the wrong seeing. Yeah. So that's why the cultivation process don't just go straight into放下yeah, Every time I see you know, post on Facebook oh, 放下 this, 放下 that、let go this like. If it's so easy then the Buddha don't have to give so much teachings right? You know And for that matter I don't recall in any sutra where the Buddha say 放下 You know, very interestingly You look at any sutra, there's no sutra so far. Maybe I haven't seen enough sutra. But have you ever encountered one sutra where the Buddha said, 佛告须菩提，诸弟子放下，放下。啊，没有，don't have that. You know? Never, you know? Yeah. But why? Because that is the result already. Yeah. When we talk about 因果, it's not just about last previous life and this life, but it's about causality. Conditionality is about causality also. And so, even our attachment is subject to conditionality, 缘起. Yeah. So, you cannot just look at the result and say, I don't want the result, throw it away. You cannot. As long as there's a cause and condition, that result will arise. And that's why the cultivation is to break down the conditions. Yeah. And in this case,就是要观一切法空 yeah, To go and contemplate and observe How all phenomena is empty of inherentness yeah, That they are empty of any self-nature yeah, 观察色声香味触法都是因缘由毕竟空 yeah, Sometimes my teacher used the word 毕竟空 yeah, 自性空 and 毕竟空 is a bit different、yeah, In a way becauseBi jing kong is ultimately void. That means ultimately cease to exist. Zi xing kong is before they cease to exist is empty of inherentness. Yeah. But the empty of inherentness is already built into yuan qi you. So in a way, don't have to repeat again. Yeah. So yin yuan you or yuan qi you and bi jing kong. Yeah. So to contemplate in this way. Or you buy a barn, wow, you think...It's a solid bun. Yeah, of course, Sifu, I buy solid bun to give people to eat. then I give a fake banana. Yeah. Not that it's a fake bun, it's in a way a real bun. But the real bun is not real. Not real in what sense? It's not tangible, it's not substantial, it's not independently existing. Yeah. The real bun, precisely because it's existing, it exists depends on conditions. And we are not the only conditions. Yeah. Our tendency is, I buy one. It's as though you are the only condition, that's why there's a bun. No, we are part of the condition. We don't say that we are not part of the condition. If you don't buy, the bun is still in the shop. So you buy. But you are just part of the conditions. There's the farmer. There's the bakery shop. Yeah. There's the chef. Then there's the people who provide the water. There are the people who start the bakery shop and so on and so forth. Yeah, then all the materials, the flour, the water, the egg, whatever. Yeah. And how about all those people who are doing transport? Yeah. They help to transport the ingredients. Yeah. So, rightly speaking, this is the result of all of that. But you don't eat the driver. You don't eat the driver. You just eat the resultant phenomena. Yeah. And yet, this resultant phenomena has no breadness. Yeah. And that's why those same ingredients can, given a different composition, become noodles. And given the right conditions, can become part of that person's body. Yeah. If bread has breadness, then after you eat, then boom, your finger become bread. Huh? You drink water, then you start to melt. You eat laksa, then when you cry laksa come out. Huh? Doesn't happen that way, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it seems logical. And because we in Singapore, in our education, we learn about science, we learn about digestion and all those things, that is, for the most part, as much as we learn about digestion, we never go and see our stomach and check and double check and make sure that it's like that, Yeah. But we put things into our mouth, you chew, and then somehow we assume that that's what happened, and somehow, But when you really think about it, that's really what's happening, That the food you eat, the water you drink, has no fixed nature, has no inherent nature. That's why it can become, or it can serve as nutriment for the body. Yeah. It's just so crazy. Mind-boggling if you ask me. Yeah. So if you were to do this, then do this not just for the bread, but 观一切法空. Not just 观面包空. Of course, that's a good start. But you have to 观一切法. Yeah, because if you just get fixated 观面包, then 面包空, 人不空. Yeah, then 饼干不空, only 面包空. Yeah, also cannot. Yes, you have to 观一切法空. But what does it mean by 观一切法空? Then my teacher give a bit more explanation. Yeah, so 缘起有, then 毕竟空. And that's how I explain 缘起有就是自性空. And then, because it doesn't have any inherentness, so ultimately conditions change, it ceases to exist. Then it's called 毕竟空, ultimate voidness. 当然还要修禅定. I've mentioned before, we learn Heart Sutra, we learn emptiness, we learn impermanence, we learn Yogacara school, we learn about consciousness only. But just learning that is not sufficient. Yeah. I don't just say chanting is insufficient. You just learn Dharma itself also. You must also do the other practices. Yeah. All this just forms the right view for us to verify. But if you just have right view, but you don't have the sila, samadhi, how you verify to have wisdom? Cannot. So, 当然还要修禅定. You must practice samatha to develop jhana and concentration. 修三摩他, the 子, So practice samatha, and then you develop the quietening, yeah, the concentration, yeah. 然后, 修毗婆舍那, the guan, yeah. So then after that, you cultivate vipassana, the observation, contemplation part of the practice. Yeah. 观色声香味触法是无常, yeah. Then you observe form, smell, form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and phenomena. That all these are what? 是无常, is anicca, yeah, is impermanent. Yeah, 是无我, is no self. Yeah, 是毕竟空, yeah, is ultimately void. So, 这样观, 经过一段时间, yeah, if you contemplate and you observe in this way, over time, you do this over time, what happened? 然后才能调伏烦恼, then you can mitigate your defilements. You can overcome your defilements. Ultimately, whatever dharma we learn, it is aimed at mitigating, overcoming defilements, and ultimately eradicating them. Yeah. Otherwise, then it becomes what are we going to use the dharma for? Then maybe we can use the dharma to write a very nice thesis, write articles. Yeah, then get invited to speak at conferences and then give a lot of talks. Yeah. But then we are doing academic work. Yeah. Even academic even in the academia field, there are those academia who, in a way we can say like theoretical physics, physicists. But even for them, that becomes the basis for the other physicists to go and do the practical experimentation. Yeah. So it's not an end by itself. Yeah. So if Buddhists consider themselves to be practitioners or to be disciples of the Buddha, then surely we cannot just stay at so-called intellectual knowledge. So 天台智的大师说, yeah, so in the Chinese lineage, there's this master called 智者大师, yeah. So he founded the 天台宗, yeah. So not really any English translation for this word, but in the Japanese school, it become more popular, more prominent. 天台, yeah. Actually, it's directly from 天台宗, yeah. 天台智者大师说, yeah. So His name can be translated 智者, the wise one. So what did he say? 从空出家的菩萨有三个阶段, 可以度化众生. So those bodhisattvas who arise from within emptiness, the principle of emptiness, arise the unreal. This jia is actually talking about the yuan qi. Yeah. So such a bodhisattva, what happened? There are three stages. Yeah. In these three stages, they are able to 度化众生. So this word 度化, usually when we say 度 is to liberate. So there's this 化. So my teacher explained, this 化 is to transform, to change. Yeah. So it's not it's not simply making the person become like that, but slowly using the teachings to help the sentient beings to change. Yeah, change from unenlightened with defilements to enlightened without defilements. Yeah, so what happens? 第一个阶段, the first stage, 就是内凡位. So the first stage, so there are three stages. The first stage, 内凡, in a way, this is what we call the unenlightened stage. So the inner unenlightened stage, 直观有力量, although not enlightened yet, but samatha and vipassana already have power. So what have power? 有力量, 使令烦恼不生起. So my teacher often highlight, 什么是有力量? 有力量就是能够调伏烦恼, Ling Fan Ao Pusan. Maybe we learn some Dharma, we attend class, we go for retreats, then we feel, I think quite accomplished. How to define whether we have progress or we have accomplished? You check. Are we able to overcome defilements as they arise? And to begin with, you need to be able to see that defilements have arisen. Yeah. For a long time we find that no Shifu, for the past 3 weeks, don't go more than 3 weeks. Don't tell me, past 3 years, rubbish. Just 3 weeks. Past 3 weeks, Shifu, no defilements arise. A few possibilities. Either you are enlightened or you are blind. Yeah. Or you are in denial. Yeah. So, have to be careful. Yeah. Check ourselves. So, if you were to be very honest and sincere with our practice, you may start to find, wow, there's a lot of deformers, more and more deformers that you discover. Don't get disheartened. Yeah. It only means that your clarity is increasing. Yeah. And you're becoming more more honest with yourself. Yeah. Before that, it's not that you're not honest. Before that, you don't even know that there's defilements. Then later, you know that there's defilements, but paisima, you practice for a while already. But later, you realize that nothing will be paisima. Defilement is defilements. And the more clearly you see that it's defilements, the more ready you are to accept that, yes, this is a problem. You must do something about it. Yeah, so, at this stage, for this neifan, that means still unenlightened, but the inner section ready. Yeah. The person's samatha vipassana has reached a point where he's able to overcome defilements. Yeah. That means defilements can still arise, but able to overcome. Ling fan nao pusen. Yeah. Correction. So able to sort of keep it at bay. Yeah. Doesn't mean that it's enlightened. That means there's still the seed, but able to keep it at bay, doesn't arise. 这时候怎么样? 这时候可以行菩萨道, the standard quite high. At this point, then you can practice the Bodhisattva path. 行菩萨道时, 能应用智慧, and when cultivating the Bodhisattva path, he's able to make use of wisdom. 而不会以贪嗔痴处理事情, and will not handle matters according to greed, hatred, and delusion. If you think about it, actually it makes sense. If a person is still not able to do this, then how do you really go and help liberate sentient beings? Yeah, you liberate three, sabo five. Yeah, and the three maybe half liberated. Yeah, 为什么呢? So why is this the case? 因为只观能调伏贪嗔痴, yeah. So earlier it mentions that this person's samatha vipassana has already reached a point where already has power, yeah, and to the point where it's able to overcome defilements. Yeah. So why? 因为只观能调伏烦恼, yeah. So because samatha vipassana can overcome, can mitigate all the different types of defilements, yeah, such as greed, hatred, and delusion. 所以不以贪嗔痴做事情, and that's why this person is able to do things not guided, yeah, not do things with greed, hatred, and delusion. I tell you something quite funny, yeah, quite embarrassing. Just now, my teacher said, "买一个面包." So long time ago, my father would, my father works in PUB. So a few times a year, he will book the bungalow house or chalet. Yeah, civil servants, they can book, you know. So we will go to the chalet and then maybe for the weekend or something. So sometimes we will ask our cousins to come along. Sometimes my sister will ask her friends to come along, then they will organize games or whatever. Then there was once I asked my scouts friends to go. Then I remember one of the night, towards like 10 plus already, then I was feeling a bit hungry. Actually, sometimes when you are young, you don't really know what is hunger, you know. You just feel like eating it all the time. So I went into the kitchen, then opened up the fridge, took out the bread, then luncheon meat. Last time, I was not a vegetarian, you know. So luncheon meat, then take a cucumber, cut, or all kinds of things. Prepare, then spread. Then, made myself this nice, you know, 3 or 4 layer of sandwich, you know. Very nice. Yeah. Then after that, 谁知道, my scout's friend came to the kitchen. And then they're like, I got sandwich. I remember very clearly, you know, I was not very happy to share with them. That's an example of attachment now. Before they come in, I also don't think much about it. But the moment they come in, I feel quite threatened, you know. I made this sandwich now. Now you think about it. Maybe if I had done away that sandwich, maybe my path to enlightenment shortened by 1,000 years. Yeah, but because I hold back that sandwich, then had to spend 1,000 years. Our attachment, we hold on to all these worldly things. Today is a bun, tomorrow is a sandwich, next day is a car. We hold. We think that all these are so important. Not that they are not important. Yeah, but as I've been sharing these few weeks, I don't know when you all will feel one day tell me like, okay, Shifu, enough of that sharing. So many times, it's been 3 weeks. Yeah. So recently at the Lanka retreat, I had this thought. Yeah. All these worldly things, trinkets given by con men. Yeah. But we hold them so precious. I'm not saying that it's a con job, that your boss con you, that this, you know, the bun is not a real bun. Actually, the person sell you a fake bun. You know, no. It's a real bun. Your boss really give you a promotion. You really get, you know, people get 5% increment. You really get 10% increment. You really become regional boss, regional VP. Yeah. You get this, you get that. Yeah. You get transport allowance, 1,005 a month. What of people pay 1,002, your transport allowance, 1,005. Yeah. Then because of some special, don't know, whatever arrangement, somehow you end up becoming an expat staff, although you are a Singaporean, then you get housing allowance somehow. 2,000 housing allowance. You feel really good about it, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. Even if all that is real and you really get to enjoy that, I'm telling you that these are but trinkets of a con man. But it's not that your boss is a con man, no. It's that we are the con man. Yeah. Because in comparison with Nibbana, all these are trinkets. These are not the real thing that is important. These are all superficial trinkets. You know trinkets? Yeah. Like you, if you go to a jewelry shop, yeah, you go to Li Hua. Then you go to Li Hua, by right, you can get diamond, all kinds of platinum, gold, or whatever. Then after that, before you enter Li Hua, there's one guy outside. Not flasher. but selling you things one. Then say, you go Li Hua for what? I sell you this one. Well then look alike leh. Very nice leh. And then tell you, for you, special price, friendship price, 30% off. Inside $1,000. For you, $700. No, you know what? Special price today, $50. Bro, I like you, bro, special price, one time, don't bargain, come on, bro, $50.
Yeah, and when you take it, examine, well, it looks really real, you know.
Yeah, but actually it's trinkless. Yeah, trinkless. Worthless compared to the real thing. I'm not saying lihua. Just an example. Yeah. All the things we pursue, the worldly things, those are like trinkets compared to Nibbana. Until we see that clearly, we will spend all our time going after trinkets. And even when you don't see it, it's still trinkets. It's not that you see it, then become trinkets. Before that, hey, Sifu, then don't tell me. You tell me, then become trinkets. Before that, very nice, then you tell me, then you spoil my dream, you know. No. All the while is trinkets. It's just that you don't see that it's trinkets. Then you put in so much effort, no? And you get so much satisfaction when you get it. And that's why when you lose it, you feel so miserable. But actually, all the while is just trinkets. Will you feel miserable if you lose a trinket? No. Would you fight with people over trinkets? No. Along the way, if people give you trinket, okay, Lord, give me, Lord. And when you see someone who needs the trinket, it's just like you would give your nephew and nieces win Monopoly money. For them, it's real money, you know. Yeah, that's why when the brothers or the sisters or cousins or friends, when they play and someone like play cheat a bit, walao, hey, sifu, you see? Well, macam like, you know, like it's so important, you know. Yeah, but when we one day become like a bodhisattva, you know, enlightened, and you see truly, these are all trinkets, then it's okay. You want to win? Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, then in this way, when you see clearly, then no more greed, hatred, and delusion towards all these things. Yeah, but you need to practice. Yeah. So, but that first stage is still not enlightened. Although not enlightened, really very powerful. But powerful not in the Avengers kind of powerful or can whack people, but able to vanquish defilements inside. Yeah. Not affected. It's not that it's one of the Avengers very powerful, so people attack, don't have to move. It's that we are unmoved by whatever happens. Yeah. So, 第二个阶段, second stage, 只得无生法忍, so have attained to the unarising phenomena, the unborn phenomena. In other words, have attained to Nibbana, have seen into the ultimate reality. Yeah. So, already 见地. So, 就是入圣道的时候, if one day one of you come and tell me, 师父, 所做一半不受后有, lucky best. 以清正无生法忍, 哇,笑了, 有暖顶忍是第一, yeah, so this 暖顶忍是第一, so 暖胃, so this 暖 is warm. That means it's using the analogy that a person want to start a fire, then you rub, initially you rub, then you give up. So it never reached the point of even having some heat. Yeah. Then you really, until wow, it starts to warm up. Wow, 暖胃. Yeah. Then 暖顶. Wow, so the heat, yes, there's heat, but there's heat and more heat. Up to the point where it is at the climax already. The maxim of the heat. Yeah. So your wisdom reached a critical point already. Then beyond that, 忍胃, you have already. This run is to experience. You have seen into the ultimate reality. Then next moment is immediately 世第一, yeah, foremost in this world. But please, when you attend, like no special sound like that. I make up the sound. 世第一, 进入到初欢喜地. At that point, the initial stage of joy. So in the Heart Sutra, I've explained before, this 初欢喜地. Yeah, what is this 初欢喜地? Why is it called 欢喜地? And 初欢喜地? It is that, does it mean that in our day-to-day life, there's no joy? No, there is. But all this joy is not real joy. You get joy, but the joy comes with suffering. You get joy, then you lose it, you have no more joy. You feel misery. And after that, more suffering. Now when you practice up to this point, it's different. Prior to that, you pursue things, you have joy. But after, you lose it. Now, you practice up to this point, you reach this stage. When you enter into this stage, you see, all the so-called sacrifices, all the effort you have put in, all the classes you have attended, retreats you have attended, all the pain you have endured, not for nothing, no. You see that all this effort have been worthwhile. And this will not be lost. Yeah. So this is where, this is real joy. 真正的值得欢喜的。 It's not worldly things where that joy give you more problem. This joy doesn't give you any problem. 初欢喜地, the first stage of the 10th stage Bodhisattva path. 断了分别我执, here you eradicate the discriminate, how do I put it? 分别我执. So the self-attachment that is discriminatory. Yeah. So the 我执, self-attachment, there are two parts to it. 分别我执, 具身我执. So one is, you can say, innate, intuitive. Yeah. The other one is discriminating. So it means this 分别我执 is through perception, through thinking. Yeah. Then you discriminate a self, and then you are attached to that. Yeah. Whereas the other one is intuitive. Yeah. So I often describe it this way. It's like you are crossing the street, and then a car horn. The first instant when you heard the horn and you have that is 具身. Yeah. Intuitively you feel that. Yeah, because of the attachment to the self. Yeah. But after that, you turn around, you don't know who I am. That is the discriminated one. Yeah, you start to discriminate who you are, or your hot position, I'm who and who, and who are you, what kind of car you dare to horn at me, all kinds of this kind of thing. All that is discriminatory. Yeah. So, 断了分别我执, so 也断了很多烦恼, and it would have eradicated a lot of defilements, a lot of afflictions in the mind. Yeah. 这时候的止观更有力量, at this point the samatha vipassana it has even more power. Yeah. Whenever in Buddhism when we say 更有力量, have more power, it is always more power to eradicate defilements. Yeah. 是圣人行菩萨道了, 不是凡夫, at this point, compared to the first stage is still unenlightened, but already 内凡, not 外凡, 外凡 is even further. The first stage, although is 凡, but is 内凡, close already. Then this is 入了身位, so 初凡起地 and above. So 初凡起地, so this is the second stage, enlightened. 第三个阶段, so from 初凡起地 up to what? Up to 第三个阶段, 八地菩萨, 8th stage. So from 初地 until 七地, in a way all considered second stage. But for second stage is this period, there's a lot of stages. This is where the 六波罗蜜 is slowly 圆满. Then up to 八地, 八九十, 大菩萨的境界. But if you look at different texts like 华严经, Fa-Jing and different texts. Sometimes the 10, the segregation and the comparison with the four fruits can vary a bit. So, 如普门品说的，在十方世界应以何身得度者，即现何身而为说法。 Yeah. So, this is a verse that I often recite. Yeah. So this Pumanping, the chapter on universal Dharma doors. Yeah. So in this sub chapter, then it highlights the expedient means, yeah, the expedient means meaning the skillful means, yeah, that the Guan Xin Pusa employs to liberate sentient beings. So actually it's not just Guan Xin Pusa. Yeah, actually it's all the Bodhisattvas. But I will tell you this, actually it's not just the Bodhisattvas. All of us do that also. Yeah. In the if I say this, I don't know whether it's too rude. This phrase is more common to you all than "ing is hersen de tu ze, xi xian hersen de wei shuo fa." A more colloquial version of this is "jian ren jiang ren hua, jian gui jiang gui hua." Because if you think about it, that's what we do, isn't it? We say what is needed in order for the person to be in agreement. The difference is this. When we say 见人讲人话, 见鬼讲鬼话, the intent of the speaker is to get benefit. Yeah? Why do people 见人讲人话, 见鬼讲鬼话? It's so that whatever I say is pleasing to you, then you will listen to me, you'll give me benefits. That is the difference. Bodhisattvas seem to do something similar, but it is to benefit the listener, not to benefit themselves. Yeah, so, 应以何声得度者, so depending on the listener, if they require a certain state, yeah, for them to find it agreeable to listen to, then the Bodhisattva will appear in that state. Whether it's man or woman, whether it's monastic or lay, whether it's even a Brahma to appear. If you need Brahma to talk to you, then you will listen. Okay, appear as a Brahma. You need to see a king, then he will appear as a king. You need to see a minister, then they appear as a minister. Yeah. Whatever form you require, they will appear in that form to teach you. Yeah. And in a way, if you think about it, Shifu can go non-stop and on for many hours, talk about compassion, but then, for some of us, you just see a Facebook, yeah, video about this poor kitten. Oh, your compassion arises. You know, immediately compassion arises. You walk down the street, you see this dog limping. Then immediately compassion arises. Yeah. So if you think about it, of course the Bodhisattva will look at this and say, okay, Bodhisattva will appear as a dog, if need be. Yeah. But for us, walao, Sifu, you. Wow, how dare you say Guan Xin Pusa become a dog? Yeah, the problem is with us, not with Guan Xin Pusa. Guan Xin Pusa have no problem with that. Yeah. We cannot accept that. We cannot accept, wow, Guan Xin Pusa so great, become a dog. But Guan Xin Pusa careless. Cannot be bothered with that. It's okay. Yeah, if that is what it takes to kindle compassion in sentient beings, it's okay. Yeah, no problem. But we are attached, we have attachment. We have attachment to who we are, isn't it? Yeah. We have attachment to our role, we have attachment to even our gender. Yeah. Sometimes I raise this to students. Yeah. Some students, they ask, so, I heard that to become a Buddha, you must be a man. Why is there such a gender bias? I'm like, well, actually, at the later stage, Bodhisattvas have to transcend all attachment, including attachment to gender. So, it's not so much a gender bias, but it's that, you know, that's the form that is most expedient. Yeah. But, not easy. Like that day, I was just thinking about this question. And I was thinking, if I go around telling people, you're not a woman, leh. Sifu, you're crazy. I cannot see, I'm a woman. I can see. But, you see, it's very easy. Because since young, you look at yourself, okay, last I checked, man, ma. Yeah? So we're so used, we identify this as who we are. Being a man, being a woman, being a girl, being a boy, we are attached to it. Then we wrongly think that we are a woman, we are a man, yeah. But the man that you are or the woman that you are is not so much the cause but the result. Yeah. If you really go into the teachings, yeah, this is the result. This is not the essence. Yeah. Then in which case, if you can really go into this and see this clearly, then does it matter whether it's man or woman? Yeah, that question becomes inadmissible, becomes irrelevant. Yeah. For whichever form is necessary, then when you reach that stage, then whatever form you will appear. You wouldn't bother, oh, but Sifu, I'm a man, cannot appear as a woman. No, it's okay. Like if you ask me, right, I've ever told some students wanted to bring some of their friends or colleagues to see me. But then the problem is that their friend or whoever is not a Buddhist, even a Christian. Then this student have some hesitation. Oh, but Sifu, my friend is not a Buddhist, like Christian. Not sure whether he or she is like okay or not. So if need be, I can go in plain clothes, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, this is just a clothing, you know. Yeah. But that my default is wearing this. But if you need, I can put on a jacket. Yeah. Yeah. Or I can Skype call. Yeah, I don't have to meet the person. If the person has that fixation with what I wear, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Yeah. If you want, I can put on something else. You need me to wear sari? Yeah. If I need to, I can call up my friends who are priests, you know, or pastor. I can borrow from them, you know, if it makes you feel better. Yeah. And in fact, sometimes when I talk to Christians, I don't tell them about Dhamma Sutra or Dhamma. A few times I tell them, are you familiar with Matthew? Oh, Matthew? Yeah, the book of Matthew, are you familiar? Matthew 19, are you familiar? Oh, yeah. Because to spend all the time to deconstruct their belief and then build up the scaffolding to have the faith in the Dhamma, by the time maybe cow come home, they die already, you know. And maybe before halfway through, the person just walk off. Yeah, so whatever the person currently believes, okay, well, then use that as a platform to help you, you know, whether it's 5 minutes or 2 hours, after that, at least you walk away with something that can help you to become better. That's what's important. Yeah. But not that I'm intending to, you know, like, put on priest clothing on a long-term basis. My mom. So because she has still have attachment to this clothing. Yeah. Because if you think about it, in the Buddha's time, they don't wear this leh. Tubo. Yeah. Yeah. This came later also. Like. Huh? Oh, but I mean, unless he's saying that he wear that to give teaching in the swimming pool or what, you know what I mean? Yeah, but that's for him to go and clarify, not for me to. Yeah, yes. So,
therefore, right? No, like, what's the for? I just use a bit on here. So, like, when parents come and say,
so wait. What did you just say? I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay, so when parents sometimes say, like, because sometimes I know in traditional parenting they'll like say, accept the truth as it is, then therefore can we say that there's no absolute truth? I mean, like, I'm trying to link, like, what
is there absolute truth? There's ultimate reality. You can, in a way, equate that to absolute truth. Yeah. But that itself has no name or words. Once you describe that with name, then it's not absolute.
Didn't understand. Last I cannot tell you.
So ultimate reality itself you can say that that's ultimate reality and that's absolute truth. But the moment you describe it with words, it is no longer absolute.
Okay.
Because words by nature is relative.
A bit understand already.
Wow.
A bit because I get it. You give a label, then everyone will interpret as all is like that when it's like to some people they won't think it that way.
You interpret this way, then yes. Becomes relative.
Attachment.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not attachment.
But what are you trying to ask?
No, because it's like my parents always, right, when they are trying to explain things to me, they will always like put a thing in front of it. There's no other way that I can tell you. Accept it the way it is.
Actually, that has nothing to do with the teaching, whether it's ultimate reality or not. It's just them asserting their authority over you. Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Because just now you were saying that some people may accept that they may want for one thing, but it will appear in many other ways. I mean, so in order for a teaching to pass through, you know, like teacher to student, so the student say, hey, teacher, I want to see like you appear as like this, and like some things will be like, ah, okay, I'm willing to like wear, like just what you say. So,
yeah.
But you know, for most traditional parents, it's like, cannot.
Oh, just slowly. For most traditional parents, not
traditional
yeah.
parents.
Okay.
So they will say, no, if it's like this, means is you must accept it as like this. You as a student must accept it's like this. You cannot say, hey, I expect it to be this way, lah. Then it's like, yeah.
Well, there are many ways around that as well. In some cases, I do expect that the student must also take a step forward. Yeah. So, for example, let's say the five precepts. The five precepts is the five precepts. Yeah, it's based on what the Buddha observed from the pattern of causality that certain actions bring pain. There's no sugarcoating around it. I mean, you can sugarcoat, but that's how it is. So that's where I refrain from saying, oh, let's repackage this so that it's more acceptable, to be more positive. But life is harsh. Yeah. It's like telling your kid, instead of telling your kid, try not to jump out of the window. Ah, no lah, that's too harsh. You know, we should be more positive. Well, if you're a bird, you can jump out the window. Like, the truth is, you cannot means you cannot. Yeah. So, there are some traditions where they try to repackage the precepts in this way or that way, thinking that, oh, we need to repackage the precepts. So, in some cases, such as precepts, I would say, no, this is how it is. Yeah. We can give further explanation to it for people to understand it better, but to then change the very principle itself, yeah, of non-harmfulness, then we are basically going against the teaching itself. Yeah. It's one thing to recognize that we are not able to fulfill the precepts, yeah, to meet the purity of our body, speech and mind. It's another thing to say, oh, because I cannot do it, so the precept is wrong. So this is where I expect the students to take that step forward. Yeah. But the way it's taught, I think that's still, you know, quite... keep your head up. Yeah. If you like that, then... like that, then it becomes like that. Yeah. But as for our parents, it's more about, I see it more as your parents asserting their authority over you. Yeah. But sometimes it is also about whether we are just questioning for the sake of questioning. There was once in Kuomingsan, there were a bunch of NUS students, and one of them was just incessantly asking, but why like that? So I said, it's one thing, you know, you seem to be exercising the scientific approach of inquiry. Yeah, then he said, yeah. Then I said, but I have a question for you. Do you all stay in high-rise building? And 80-90% of Singaporeans all stay in HDB flat, so of course it's high rise, right? So I asked them, do you know for a fact that your HDB block is not going to collapse tonight? Then they're like, don't know. So you don't know, right? And I asked them, how many of you study civil and structural engineering? For that session, none of them. And I said, I don't study that, but I have friends who study that, and you know, based on a bit of engineering that I know, yeah, you know, if you can, if you calculate the pillar, the beam and everything, and then the kind of cement, and you do a bit of test, you can probably calculate the structural strength, and then you measure the laden weight, the dynamic weight and everything, you can sort of anticipate whether the building is going to collapse or not. And probably you need to do measurements over a period of time. Yeah, to do instantaneous check and infer, a bit tricky. Usually it's over a period of time. And I said, despite not being able to do any of this, do you assume that it's going to collapse? Do you know that it's going to collapse? You don't know. Do you assume? And yet you don't assume. You just assume that it's not going to collapse. So I told the kid, I mean not kid, already undergrad, I said, the truth is, we don't hold that same rigor of expectation in our normal life. So why are we throwing this at Buddhism? Is it a fair, you know, or is it a double standard? I'm not suggesting that we should not question and test, yeah, but we have to ask ourselves, why don't we do it for everything else? It's because if you do that, number one, you will just spend your whole life just testing everything. You know, when you go down and you take a bus, how do you know that the bus is actually fully functioning? The truth is, sometimes they are not, you know, that's why accidents happen. But you're not going to live your life in paranoia. And if you are not going to do that, then perhaps you should exercise some restraint when your parents talk to you and not question everything they tell you. Even in science, correct me if I'm wrong, there are certain first principles that you assume has been proven and should be the case. If you're like, if you go to school and your professor teaches you something, you don't go in assuming has to be wrong. Yeah. You're in secondary school, teach you F equals MA. Why is it F equals MA? Well, Pyong, I want to prove to you, you have to go and do a degree first before I can prove to you anything. Then how? Yeah. But the trouble is, sometimes as children, we don't realize this. I don't say that you purposely, but sometimes unknowingly, we may have that kind of mindset and wrongly use this scientific approach of inquiry to question our parents. Yeah. Because we start with the assumption that they are wrong. Yeah. I don't know about your case, but if you may need to go and do a self-assessment, and if that's the case, then maybe good to, you know, just take a step back a bit. Yeah. Because it's a two-way thing. Yeah. The more you come on, then the more they will try to. Yeah. But if you're more, in a way, reasonable, that if given certain reasonable doubt, you accept what they say, they may not push it down so hard. Okay? Okay, I think we should end here. Reasonable doubt. Yeah. What is your question?
My question is that reasonable doubt itself, because even within like the scientific theory or the inquiry that brought up, this certain theories only hold under certain conditions. And when the underlying conditions are each trespass, right, your reasonable doubt is the lack of reasonable doubt I have would then be very clear that it is doubt, and therefore the theories or the understanding or the kind of agreement that you have, social construct, whatever agreement, just doesn't hold anymore. So, or even not even social construct, like scientifically, like between the quantum state and the
okay, so based on what you asked,
people MA only holds under certain things. So, if let's say if you tell me that, hey, ethical MA does not, if I question you, ethical MA does not work, and to you it works, but in actual fact, that reality I'm staying in, or not reality, that the thing I'm observing is that it doesn't rule anymore. So you can't question me then, because I'm not wrong. You can question me, but I'm not wrong. I mean, I'm just proposing.
Yeah, just so for the sake of argument, when we say within reasonable doubt, you should just accept, so that doesn't mean that you cannot question. It just means that if it's within reasonable doubt, you should just, you know, sort of let it slide and accept that, have faith in your parents or your teacher or whosoever, or your friends. But it doesn't mean that, oh, because what you're asking is, what if it's beyond reasonable? Well, I never say that beyond reasonable, but you cannot question. In fact, that earlier statement implicitly means that if it is beyond reasonable doubt, you should question.
So if I question it, and then, however, upon inspection by other people, it's something else. What I'm saying is the instrument of inspection is just not, perhaps it's just not, doesn't give the same results.
Well, this is very big. It can be anything.
Yeah,
so if it's anything, then hard for anyone to give a definite answer of what is the approach. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other question? Any other question?
I do have a lot of questions, but I think when it comes up, then I'll just ask you.
So the thing is... our time and again, I've highlighted in class, whether it's the teachings or our interaction with our parents, our friends, or even more importantly, with ourselves. Yeah? Like, for example, now I want you all to observe what I'm doing. Now, if I were to ask you all to write one sentence to describe what just happened, there's a high chance, not 100%, but high chance, all of you would describe it more or less similarly, that Shifu drank some water. Some of you may even infer that Shifu is thirsty and so Shifu drinks some water. Others may go further and say, Shifu wanted to test our observation of mindfulness, you know, or something. But because it's only one sentence, it limits how much you can explore. But if I now ask you to write a 500-word essay, or 1,000 words, or 10,000 words about what just happened, then you all will really sit back, go back and think, there must have been something else that happened, you know? You know what I mean? But who defines how many words to describe? We are the one who decide, you know?
All of there is.
Yes. Yeah, other than exams. Because in real life, when we see certain events, there's no one to come and tell us, oh, hang on. When we observe something happening, there's no one who will come and tell us, or that person will not come and tell us, oh, this is actually just a simple one-sentence thing. I mean, that would be helpful, isn't it? Then you don't have to go and try to read into what people are doing or thinking or saying. Yeah. But life is like that. You don't always get the straight answer. You don't always get people to tell you this is like this or like that. But as a general rule of thumb, there's this thing called the Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is more often than not the correct explanation. Yeah. So, good to question yourself more than what is outside. Yeah, because oftentimes, the worst delusion is self-delusion. Yeah, where it's unclear, we ourselves is unclear. So, hard for us to even know that we are unclear. Okay, so until next week. 愿消三藏诸烦恼 愿消三藏诸烦恼愿得智慧证明了愿得智慧证明了普愿罪障悉消除世世常行菩萨道阿弥陀佛起立